As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Hey guys, this is Mike Young. Love My Renovation Project. I'm glad to have you here. And if you want to be part of the show, call in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Toll free, or you can call us direct, but try the toll free. We'll get you on there. Today we're going to start talking about why should you use a consultant on a renovation project. Why you should use a consultant on a renovation project. Well, one, we got your back. You know, not too long ago I did a 203K where I came in with a bid of about $159,000 for the work that this young lady wanted to do. I prepared the bid in about 4 or 5 days. And then she sent that scope of work out to her contractor, and then with instructions to me, don't worry about getting any other bids. I have my contractor selected. So I didn't worry about it. About 4.5 weeks go by, and the client's contractor came back with a bid of $298,000. Now, we're not always perfect. Consultant's going to give the bid. I try to make my bids on the low end, so if anybody beats my bid, I suspect that they probably don't have enough money, or they've forgotten something or missed something. But in this case, we were a little bit far off. What's that, about $135,000, something in that range? So the client was a little shocked and dismayed and think the project would not fly at $298,000. So I suggested we get a second bid. And lo and behold, it came in at $161,000. And the client's first response is, should we talk him down $2,000 to the $159,000 that you bid? And I thought about that for about a half a second and said, no, that would not be the smart way to start your relationship with this new contractor. $2,000 difference in a $159,000 bid is no difference at all in reality. So now she was concerned that her contractor had really tried to rip her off. And maybe he did, but here's why. During the initial meetings with her contractor, she had seen him on the job, and he was doing custom, really nice work, which she thought she wanted too. She's buying an old house that had no foundation. It was just maybe 100 years old, and she wanted to turn it into a custom type craftsman style home. And that's what he was working on, and she just went over there and oogled his work and just told him how good he was. Man, this is exactly what I want and like. So one thing led to another, and she heard what she wanted to hear, and he heard what he wanted to hear, and that was he had the job. There wasn't any competition. So he put the prices where he thought he could make a dime. So anyway, we got the job done for $161,000, and that's why you need a consultant. You've got somebody watching out for your best interest. What the contractor, in this case, didn't realize is that she had somebody watching her back and keeping her safe, or at safe harbor. So sometimes it seems as though there is little respect for the consultant and what we do. No, I'm not feeling sorry for myself. But when you have a lender or an loan officer call you and say, I've got a 203K, I need you to see it this afternoon or first thing tomorrow morning, and could I get your report back by the end of the day? Then they don't really understand what it is a consultant does. Quite often they'll hand you a bid that they've already got. They've been working on the project for 3 weeks. Contractor gave them a bid. Now they're going to hand that to you and suggest that you just take that as gospel and put it into your work write-up. Well, typically contractors bid a job, and when they do, they put in a contingency reserve, a little bit of money, just in case they run into a problem, that they'll have the money to fix that problem without coming back to the borrower and hitting him up for more money. So when a contractor is asked to bid a project, that is what they do. Now, when that bid comes over to the consultant and he's asked just to put it into the program, then the consultant, the first question that comes to my mind is, how much contingency reserve did this contractor build into their bid? Well, nobody's talked to them about that. So if that happens, I still have to make, as a consultant, we still have to make an inspection of the property. And I tell the client, you've met this contractor. You've known him now for 3 weeks and been working on the project. I don't know him, never heard of him. But this process of building contingency into your bid is standard. Any contractor is a fool if he doesn't build some contingency into his numbers. So I want you to call that contractor, ask the contractor, how much of your bid is contingency? How much contingency did you build into your bid? I said, and email that amount to me. Let me know what that number is. Because we have to show contingency in the consultant's report. Now, if we don't know a bid, we're going to put 10%. And if he's already put 10%, now you've got 20%, but 10% you didn't even know about. Quite often, the homeowner or the borrower reports back to us and says, well, first thing, he said he didn't want to tell us how much contingency. That's none of our business. And I said, well, it's your money. It is your business. So I finally got him to tell us because I told him we had to show it separately. And quite often it's a number. It's $8,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 rather than a percentage. But once I know that number, we back that number out of his bid and saved him that money. Because by separating it like HUD requires us to do and showing it so everybody sees it, it now becomes a challenge for the contractor to take it. But if he doesn't use it or doesn't need it during the course of construction, guess who is the recipient of the money? The money is paid down on your mortgage, the borrower. In fact, that money belongs to the borrower if it's not used. But when hidden inside a bid of a contractor, it becomes the contractor's vacation money. So that's not the best thing. Anyway, loan officers need to show more respect for the consultants and the fact that we have a due process. We have to do our due diligence. We have to talk to the client. Every loan officer is supposed to provide all the paperwork necessary to be signed at closing for the 203K loan program. I haven't met but one in my life that does that, in fact. So we do it as part of our consultation with people on the Mike Young team. So in doing so, we make sure the client doesn't have any surprises down the road. We go over that paperwork. We don't just hand it to them and say, read this, understand it, and you're going to sign these papers at close, what we do is we walk each item through there, those papers, and show them the things that are most often misunderstood by the homeowner or the borrower, so that our clients don't have that misinterpretation, hopefully, during the course of construction, period. Now, once in a while, they do. You know, doing the best job possible, that still happens from time to time. And then you remind them. Do you remember when we talked at the time of the inspection? Yeah. You remember that paper? Remember me pointing out this fact to you? Oh, yeah. You did tell me, didn't you? I said, yeah. Now you understand that even being told, you misunderstood it. So that's why we went over it originally, so you hopefully wouldn't misunderstand it. So it's just beyond me when I get a call and they want me to be out there that day or the next day and finish the report in a day, because a contractor will take 3 weeks to put a bid together, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, depending on the size of the job, quite often. Sometimes you get a good contractor that understands the program and actually can get out there and get a bid for you within a few days, but that's few and far between. So anyway, we've got to get back to this process. The normal process for a 203K would be for the inspection to happen. When does that happen? It should be the first inspection that's done. When the loan is presented to the lender and someone orders the consultation, there's a process. Order the termite report, if this is a full 203K, or the wood destroying organisms report, WDO, and get that in process. We don't have to have that report in our hands to start our work, so we can be there the same time inspecting the house as the pest people are inspecting the house. If you're going to get a home inspection, fine. If you're not, the consultant is supposed to conduct a quasi-home inspection. And I say quasi because we have to tell you by HUD's guideline that what we do is not considered a home inspection. It's more of a contractor's type inspection where we're looking for things that don't fit the HUD guideline, the minimum property standards, also known as MPS, and I'll refer to MPS from now on in our talk about this. So you might be wise, if you want to close your 203 case faster, to contact let all the team members know you're playing the game and contact the consultant way up front. Don't wait 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the project when you have your contractor's bid. Because if the contractor spent that kind of time putting a bid together on what he was told needs to be done, and then you bring the consultant out, the consultant makes an inspection and finds, gee, you have a fuse box coming into this house for the main power supply, two big 60-amp breakers, instead of a breaker box, two big 60-amp fuses. Well, this has to be added to the scope of work. Contractor wasn't told that. Now he's already spent 3 or 4 weeks putting your bid together, getting his subcontractors out there, and you throw this wrench at him. First off, he feels you didn't know what the heck you were doing and is reluctant to push somebody out there immediately to go get it done because you didn't respect his work. So it's not his fault. Had a consultant gone out there first and defined the scope of work with the client, and then that was presented to the contractor would have bid it all and got it all done in a much more orderly fashion. So it's important to let your team be aware that there is a game going on from the get-go, from the beginning. Now, there's a lot of controversy over the years about consultants because from when the 203K was created in 1961, all the way up to 1994, no consultants really existed. I love it when I run into consultants that tell me they've been in business since 1960 doing this as a consultant. Anyway, the fun part of this thing is that, in fact, there has been no consultants, and they weren't needed. In 1994, Ken Crandall with HUD created what we call 203K consultants. In doing so, the consultants actually learn the guideline and understand it and know it. Although I get calls almost, 3 to 5 a week from consultants nationally asking me, is this really in the guideline? Which I find interesting, because they're supposed to know the guideline inside and out. So in 2005, there was enough backlash that limited 203K was created. It was actually created as the streamlined 203K, and later the name was changed to limited 203K, is what we'll call it from here forward. So in 2005, the limited 203K was introduced, and it was because that we don't have to have a consultant. We don't need a consultant. Again, showing disrespect for what the consultant actually does. Well, this slapped HUD in the face, because they found out very shortly, within a year or two, that 98% of 203Ks were the problem 203Ks were streamlined or limited 203Ks. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to you in just a minute, and we'll continue this part of the conversation.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now, and let's fix your problems.
Hey, everybody. If you want to be part of the show, dial 888-627-6008. That's toll-free. 888-627-6008. You can also find that on my website if you go to my203kconsultant.com and click on the radio button. In the upper right side of that page, you'll find this phone number. So, if limited 203Ks are going to be creating 98% of the problem 203Ks, then what sense did it make recently for HUD to change the guideline and say that if you use a consultant on a limited 203K, you cannot include that in the mortgage? Because typically on a full or standard 203K, a consultant's fees that he charges you can be rolled into the loan and reimbursed to you at close of escrow. But in their infinite wisdom, they said that we are not going to allow you to roll consultant fees in to the loan on a limited or 203K. So if they had, there'd be more people using consultants on their limited, and they would not have 98% of the troubled 203Ks in the business. But let's go back a little bit. The HUD has minimum property standards, also known as the MPS, as we discussed a little bit ago. They're supposed to be adhered to on all 203Ks. When you have a 203K, particularly a standard or full 203K, we are supposed to correct any functional obsolescence. The other day we had one, and the people were telling me, I want to put a door right here to go to the bathroom. And I said, well, you can't put a door from the kitchen directly into the bathroom, and you can't put it in the dining room, off the dining room, a door to the bathroom, because nobody wants to see Grandpa sitting in that toilet while the door flies open or accidentally gets open during their meal. No, it's just not a good thing. It's considered functional obsolescence. Now, you're not going to cure a swimming pool, that type of functional obsolescence, but anything that we can cure or not build into the property is a good thing. Secondly, we have several items like the electrical system. You know, I've gone into houses in Oakland, California that still have a single 30-amp fuse that is powering the entire house. You know, wires come off of the pole down at ground level. There's a meter inside a box, and there's a fuse that controls everything that goes into that meter. Some of them out of that meter. I was shocked to see the one that actually the fuse was before the meter. You know, totally inadequate. But later I found that there was another fuse on the other side. Anyway, let's get back to when you get a contractor's bid prior to getting a consultant out to the project, you're not treating the 203K as a team sport. The only way to close a 203K fast is to get a good team together, a lender that actually knows what they're doing and knows how to close a 203B quickly, and then bust their butt to close the 203B portion. The only difference between a 203K and the standard FHA loan, a 203B, is the K has a component, a construction component. Now, if you have a construction component, that's where the holdup seems to be. So when you tell a contractor to go put a bid together on a house and he doesn't have a scope, then he creates a scope based on what you're saying. And in doing so, that's where in lies the problem, because the consultant eventually is going to go out to the property and be concerned with minimum property standards. The other day I had one where the first step was about 6 inches, the second step was about 9 inches, and the third step was 4 inches. It was just three steps going up to the front porch. And I really didn't notice it so much going in the house. But coming out of the house, that first step, 6 inches, that second one you expect to be close to 6 inches. It wasn't. I nearly fell on my face. So this is contractor. It wasn't in his contractor's bid. So nobody's going to fix it unless we tell them to fix it. And we did. So when would you have a contractor out to the job first before anybody else? Well, in my opinion, you never do that. Most contractors are not aware of those guidelines. They're not aware of the MPS. And which do you want to know? Do you want to know that this deal is not going to work in 1 day or 2 days, a week at the most? Or would you rather wait 3 to 5 weeks till you get the contractor's bid back, only to find out that, gee whiz, this is too much. We can't do all this work. So your deal just fell apart, and you didn't know it for 3 to 5 weeks. Get the consultant out there first. Know it right away. What we do normally is go out to a job with the idea that this is going to work, and a budget. You got a budget figure, X number of dollars. Now, if we see while we're out there at the job that this job is clearly way over that budget, We tell you right then, charge you a feasibility fee, give you a feasibility report, which is something the real estate agent or the realtor could go back and try to renegotiate the price to cover these extra expenses that nobody knew were going to be there. Doesn't that sound more like what you want? Certainly. There's a few loan officers out there, that feel that getting the contractor bid before calling the consultant is the best way to close a 203K. I really don't see how that's an advantage. It puts undue demands on the consultant. Well, Mike, we got everything here that we need except your report. You're the only thing holding this thing up. Yeah, how long you guys been working on this? Said, well, it took the contractor 4.5 weeks. So we got his bid now, and it's ready to go, and you're holding things up. No, that's what it is. This is a team effort. Let the team all be aware there's a project in the works so they can schedule it. Gee, my schedule's booked for the next 3 or 4 days. I can see this in 5 days. Had I known there was a project coming up, I could have got out there a lot sooner, couldn't I? Why not? Anyway. What happens when they get the contractor bid first? Well, he throws his contingency amount in there. And when he throws his contingency amount in there and doesn't tell anybody, it becomes his if it's not used. And he takes a vacation on your money, money that could have and should have been put down on your mortgage. So what happens with the... we're not always correct to the penny, but when we do a bid, but we can give you a bid on a house within Florida, you know, anywhere from 1 to 5 days, depending on the complexity of the project. In most cases, the contractor will take 3 to 5 weeks to put a bid together. So we're going to give you that green light that this thing is a go way sooner than a contractor. And quite often the contractor comes in within 5% high or low of our bid, and everybody has advance notice. The homeowner feels like, okay, Mike said the bid was going, this project is going to be $60,000, and look at that, we got a bid for $62,000, or we got a bid for $58,000. Either one of those bids is a good bid, and we knew it, that it was going to fly. We've had some lenders actually move forward with the consultant's bid and start closing the loan based on that bid, just waiting for that contractor bid to come in and confirm the bid. That's another issue. We just had one that took 5 months to get the contractor to go back out there and add a few things that he missed on the bid. 5 months, the loan officer and the underwriter were demanding that the contractor come up with a bid on his letterhead. How often do you hear that? I hear it all day, every day. We've got to get that contractor's bid in here. It's got to match your bid penny for penny. Well, no, it doesn't. In fact, there's no section of the guideline that says a contractor has to have a bid at all. If he signs the bid the consultant creates, then you have a contract. Why waste five months? I could not believe that this lender took that long to close, waiting for a contractor bid that matched penny for penny with the consultant's numbers. Years ago, I got a call from HUD saying that if a contractor's bid and the consultant's bid ever match penny for penny, they'll take you off the HUD list as punishment for a period of time. Well, the lenders have a supplemental requirement that says they do have to match. So we tell them that if they do have to match, then have the contractor match our bid, because we cannot, as consultants, match the contractor's bid, particularly penny for penny. So we're going to take a short break. Call in to talk to us and be part of the show at 888-627-6008.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Okay, don't forget, call in and be part of the show. Dial 888-627-6008. If you didn't get that number, go to my website, my203kconsultant.com. Click on the button that says radio, and in the upper right corner, you'll see all the phone numbers to call in and be part of the show. Communication is key to any renovation project. We have another website, 203k911.com, where we help people with their problem 203ks, whether it be a limited 203k, which is most of the problems, or a standard, a full 203k. And we've actually been able to help about right now over 400 people at no cost. It's not a free service, but if we can help you for free, we certainly will do that. We give you the guideline. We give you some guidance, tell you where to go, what to do, what to say. But most of the problem runs around communication. It falls down. People, for some reason, don't want to talk to their contractor when they have a problem. And that's exactly what they should be doing. In many cases, when they send us an email and say, oh, we're having a problem with our contractor, we're thinking of firing him, he's just not here often enough, or whatever the problem might be, we typically copy that, right, the response back to the contractor. And the contractor, oh, I didn't realize that they were upset about that. I told them I had to be somewhere else, finish a job, and then I'd be over there in a week. I said, well, you better tell them again. Worst case scenario, we call the contractor and talk to him and find out what his take is on it, or her take, depending on the situation. So, sometimes people will hire a consultant, and then they don't use the services that we provide. You know, what I mean by that is a consultant is there for a purpose. We know the guideline. We know what you can do and what you can't do. We know that if you have a pool in the backyard of that house and it needs work and that work totals, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 to get it ship shape again, we know that you can do that with the FHA 203K. We also know you can't build a brand new pool with the 203K, but you can with the Homestyle Loan. So we can help guide you to the loan program that might fit you better for what you're going to be doing. In one case recently, it was clear that the Homestyle Loan was going to fit these people better, except the consultant doesn't know and doesn't want to know anything about your financials. So I called the lender and talked to him and said, hey, you know what they want to do, really a Homestyle Loan with Fannie Mae would be a better fit for them. And he said, yeah, I know, I looked at that. And their credit, they just don't quite qualify, and they do qualify for the 203K. Ah, good, okay. So that's part of what the team does in the background. They try to get you into the best possible loan program for your particular needs. So, but a lot of people don't pay attention to the consultant. You got to be honest with the consultant at all times. I let the people know when I get out to a consulting project that we work exclusively for you at this point in the game. And it is a game. It's a 203K game, and it's a team sport, and we're part of that team. But today I work exclusively for the borrower. So please be honest with me. Don't lie to me. Don't try to keep things from me. If you've got to tell your consultant what's going on and what's going on in your mind. And they said, what's your budget? We asked them, what's your budget? What are we trying to get this done for a certain number? What is that number? And quite often they'll say, well, we're going to see what you demand, and then we're going to see how much more we can do. And I said, I know. What is it you want to do? Give me that wish list. Tell me what your budget is, and I'll tell you, we're looking at the wish list, if it's even possible from the start. And quite often it's not. They've got so many things on their wish list. But having your wish list and having it prioritized is excellent. It's very helpful because I get in there, get my work done as a consultant, and turn it over to you. I give the bare minimum things, and then I've added on about four or five of your wish list items, and we hit your goal. Here's your budget. You're right there. You're right there close to your budget, if not right on the budget. So that's what it's all about, is trying to give you that service. But when you decide, well, don't, not going to give you the wish list yet, then you're making me do my job twice. I got to get into it and do it up to a certain point, give it to you. Then you're going to tell me, okay, here's the wish list. How many more things can we put into it? And I said, I'm finished with that job. It doesn't make sense for me to go back and do that. I was on a roll, and now I've broken stride. I'm in another project, and you're saying you want me to add some things to yours. I would rather have that wish list up front and know your budget, and then take the mandatory stuff and add as much of your wish list into there as possible. And we've got a deal, and we can close fast. When they start playing games with the consultant and holding information back, it's actually to their detriment. They're not going to close the loan as fast as they had hoped. And whose fault is it? The borrower. The borrower's agent, possibly. So the key is we got to get in there and know the facts in order to help you in the best possible way. And the best way to do that is to keep us informed. Let us know what's in your mind. We had a client, landscaping is something that's always in somebody's mind, not so much in the winter when the snow has covered the ground. But we have HUD guideline says you can't do landscaping in one part of the guideline. And another part of the guideline, it says you can do landscaping for erosion control. So we get landscaping done as erosion control whenever that's the reason for it. So if they're looking for landscaping, tell us. Don't tell us what you think we want to hear. Tell us what is in your heart. Tell us what you want to do in this 203K project, and we'll help you get that accomplished as best we can and stay within the guideline. So being honest with your consultant is paramount. We had one the other day that the client tells the consultant they wanted to keep the scope of work to a bare minimum. And not only the bare minimum, they wanted to do absolutely what's necessary and nothing more. And they want to keep it around $35,000 maximum. Well, by the time we put the scope together for them, it came in at $42,000. And the borrower was adamant they wanted to cut that down. Is there anything we can take out of it? Can you do this cheaper in any way? So we ended up tearing a couple of things out, tearing them out, not doing them, in order to get down to this 35 magic number for some reason. I'm trying to figure out why it's so important to stay under $35,000. But it turns out they were going to do $75,000 more on the side with money they have in the bank. So here we got a $35,000 project that should be done in no more than 60 days. It's not a big project. It should be knocked out fast. And what happens? We have a $75,000 mystery project that's going to happen at the same time. And as you can probably guess, we're going to end up having a problem. The $75,000 work effort is going to be in the way of our $35,000 project. And sure enough, a project that should have been done in 60 days is now in its seventh month. We got to get an extension filed. And the homeowner says, boy, that project should have been done a long time ago, Mr. Young. Why are you taking so long to get it done? And I have to remind her that this is not me. I'm not the contractor. I'm not doing the work, and I'm not throwing additional work in the way of the scope of work. This is your fault. This is the homeowner's fault. One, for committing fraud against HUD, the lender, and bringing me as an unwilling participant. No, that's what. That's what it is. It's fraud when you purposely know in advance that you're not going to do what you say you're going to do. And one of the things that we go over at the time of the initial inspection is the fact that you have certain obligations. One, you cannot make any changes in the scope of work. You can't increase it. You can't decrease it. You can't do anything with it without going through the change order process and getting prior approval from the lender before the work is started. You sign that as the homeowner, as the borrower. And, oh, I did? Well, sure you did. And we went over it before you actually did the loan. We went over that twice. It's in the borrower's acknowledgement and the borrower's acceptance of conditions. Written two different ways, but it said exactly the same thing. You can't make changes in the scope of work, and you did. You went from a $35,000 project to a $110,000 project, and that is fraud. You really want to argue this point? Well, I never could figure out why they did that. They wanted to keep the down payment to 3.5%. So I'm hearing sounds in the background. Anyway, what happens if we'd have put that other $75,000 down in order to keep the payment the same as what they wanted? Well, magic. If the homeowner had confessed up front, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to remodel the kitchen too. I'd like to remove that wall and that wall and take that window out over there and stucco it on the outside and drywall it inside, you know, frame it in and so forth. And been honest with us, she would have put, instead of 3.5% down, she would have put an additional $75,000 down. What's going to happen? This would have gone from an FHA 203K that requires private mortgage insurance, or PMI, to a Fannie Mae project with 20% down that does not require PMI, and she was saved for the last 7 months about $500 a month, or $3,500. She threw in the wind. She might as well throw it off a cliff because she didn't share with the consultant to allow the consultant to consult. So it's real important to do that. Again, the number to call in and be part of the show is 888-627-6008. So give a call and join the show. I'm going to take a short break.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, and we're back. Don't forget, if you want to be part of the show, call in at 888-627-6008. And if you didn't catch that, you can go to my website, my203kconsultant.com. Click on the radio button, and in the upper right corner, you will see the phone numbers to call in and be part of the show. So, getting back, we were talking about the consultant and how sometimes the borrower doesn't actually work with the consultant to get to take full advantage of the consultant's abilities and what they can do for the client. So it's important that we get a relationship with the homeowner right up front as soon as possible and get the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Tell us what you want to do to that home. Let us know your desires, your wants, even if it goes beyond the budget, because some of those things we may be able to squeeze into the budget. Some of the work that we do may also overlap with things you want to do. As an example, we cross paths with the WDO, the wood destroying organisms or pest report items all the time. And if the pest company says we're going to do this repair and we say you got to do this other repair and they're in the same room, maybe it's time to remodel that bathroom. Yeah, maybe the toilet has been leaking and caused damage underneath, which we caught and they caught. And we've got to take the tile back from the shower surround. So let's redo the bathroom. Let's do the floor too. Let's do a new vanity. Your appraised value is going to be dramatically impacted by updated kitchens, updated bathrooms. We're working on one right now where the people had cats. They got a cat door cut in the fire door that goes to the garage, so the cats can go in and out. Well, what else can go in and out? If there's a fire in the garage, the fire can come in that way and get into the house very quickly. So that door had to be changed. The people have apparently had some pretty nice carpeting in there. I wouldn't say it was brand new, but it's relatively new. And in the disclosures from the realtor, on the seller's disclosures, they disclose that some of the carpet has cat smell. That's not cat smell. Cats don't smell that bad. It's urine smell. And it's I don't call that cat smell. I call that what it is. And it's very difficult to get out. So we're going to be taking the carpeting out. Now, when is a 203K type loan or a renovation loan appropriate? Well, to me, every house that's sold should be a renovation loan. So what happens, you don't know what they had in that house and how much they've gone, how much trouble they've gone to disguise it, to cover it up. In this particular house, I have a nose for what they called cat smell, and it usually is very, very poignant to me. And I did not smell it in this house until we got back to the master bedroom, and then only in one corner. So they had done a good job of concealing this, but they did disclose it. And when we pulled the carpet back, the wood floors underneath were so badly stained, the homeowner was going to be ripping them up and putting down some new hardwood flooring or new hardwood, engineered hardwood flooring to make up for the carpet. He couldn't stand that to be anywhere near his kids or himself for that matter. And that's fair. I do, too. So when you buy a house, a new house, it's a used house, and you're buying it, and they got brand-new carpet, and then why? I had a good friend of mine call me and tell me that he's going to go ahead and put his house up for sale, and he's thinking about doing some work ahead of time. And I'm saying, why? It's a seller's market right now. You're going to put new carpet in there? What if it's the wrong color for the new buyer? Why don't you let the buyer do it? But everyone should be, and that way you know for a fact, you're buying the house, you're going to do the carpet, you're going to pull the old carpet up, and if there's problems down there, and I've seen it many times where there's lots of cat stains and baby stains and so forth, dog stains, and it's just not right. Now, you tell me, I've got a house and I'm buying, and this house is, it's $750,000 purchase. And I'd like to do about $50,000 worth of upgrades immediately. Which loan program should I get into? Well, there's questions that need to be answered, but that is beyond the Fannie Mae high limit loan, and it's beyond the 203K. In our area, where we're in the high cost areas of the HUD guideline, which allows us to go to $636,000 mortgage amount, say in San Mateo County, or San Francisco, Contra Costa, Alameda, Marin County, they're all in this high cost area, but it only goes to $636,000. So you can get a $636,000 loan. But if it's a $750,000 project or $700,000 project with a $50,000 construction budget, you're still going to have to put the difference between $636 and $750 down on that property. Well, in doing so, you've got your 20% down. So go with the Fannie Mae product. There are other products out there. A couple of our customers and lenders that we work with have loans that go up to $3 million. And they're renovation loans that go to $3 million. So you're not governed by HUD guideline or Fannie Mae guideline for these other lenders that might satisfy your need better. Now, when can we tell you about that? If we have a lender call us out and place an order for us to go do a 203K, they're expecting that $750,000 budget to be paid down to $636,000, and we can't change that. We cannot and must not change that. You're going to be, and you're already qualified, or you wouldn't be here doing this. Many times, we get the call from the homeowner or the buyer ahead of time, and when we do that, we can explain the different options. One newer loan out there, it's a small loan, up to $35,000 in repairs. It's called the VA renovation loan. So remember, if you're a veteran, you can buy a house and get 100% financing. 100% financing, nothing down. That's pretty cool. Years ago, I got a CalVet loan. If you're a veteran, anywhere where you were living anywhere in the country and you're a veteran and you come to California, you can purchase the CalVet loan. And if you put, get this, if you put 30% down, you have zero credit check. So I know there's some people out there with bad credit, and they have money in the bank. They could make good money, and they have money in the bank, and they could put 30% down. Years ago, I bought under the CalVet loan, and I was putting 30% down anyway. It just happened to be that. And when I called the CalVet, I said, how long is this going to take to do all your work and credit check me and all that stuff? And the guy says, you're approved. When they want to close it, we could fund it today. And that was pretty interesting. So if you have less than perfect credit, but you have a large down payment you can put down, and you're a veteran, you might want to contact CalVet. Now, it's not a renovation loan, sorry. Let's get back on track here. The VA gives 100% loan. They now have a renovation project, a product that they will offer vets up to $35,000 over the purchase price for repairs to the house and still get 100% financing. That's pretty cool. So if a vet is buying a house, 100% financing, and has new carpet, something they want to add to that house, maybe put in some windows or do something, they do use consultants, so call a 203K consultant or a FHA consultant, and we'll be happy to get out there, any of us, and put that scope of work together with you. Fannie Mae has a renovation project product they call the Home Style Renovation Mortgage. It works just like the 203K. If you put less than 20% down, you're going to have PMI. But if you've got the wherewithal to put the 20% down, you can save the PMI. And FHA, of course, goes to 636 in high-cost areas, almost double that in very high-cost areas like Alaska, Hawaii, and there's a couple of other places there. I think you can find that on my 203konline.com website. So, the key is, not too long ago, I had a lender come in, a client call in, and she says, "Mike, I want to do a 203K. There's 9 buildings on the property I'm buying. I'm going to get rid of 6 of them. I'm putting $1.55 million down, and I need a $600,000 renovation loan." So that was it. We were able to do that for her and satisfy the needs of the renovation. She put a large chunk down, so there's a lot of different ways to get your mortgage down to where you want it to be. Next week, be sure and join us. Have some questions ready for us, and we'll have some fun.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203K.